Last week was Easter, the day we gathered to celebrate the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. On the cross, Jesus bore our sins. He paid the debt for them so that we could know forgiveness. The resurrection proved that the payment was accepted. God's work was being accomplished. And so we could almost say, well, now what? Our text for this morning in that second lesson today in Revelation kind of tells us and helps us to understand now the now what. I would encourage you to take out that insert in your bulletin and look at that. And in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, I think we can see as we look again at that and who Jesus is and what he came to do, God has a very specific and focused mission. And his mission has always been about that task. God is on a passionate, love-motivated mission to reconcile the world to himself. He wants to be in relationship with the people that he created. But sin had broken that relationship, but now through Christ, we can be reunited into the very family we were always meant to be a part of. And we see that the triune God has always been a part of and about that plan. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The focus of the entire book of Revelation is Christ. And if you understand the context of how this was written, it was not a good time, in a sense, for the people who were coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Persecution was coming in, and people, when they looked at the world around them and they looked at what was happening even to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they got the idea evil is winning. It appeared as if evil was going to win, that they were going to be kind of snuffed out. And what John is kind of emboldened to give this message, and God reminds him of, no, this is the story. Christ is victorious. And it's all about showing that Christ wins, and his people will win, and his people will conquer. Christ loved people, all people. And again, love prompted him to do something for people, mainly to liberate them from the guilt of sin. And then on top of that, to call his people through the gospel to be born again into a kingdom with a different citizenship under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And with that, we see that he was given, and all of us are given a calling. Each person in his kingdom is a priest. We're called into a royal priesthood. And a priest is one who is a forgiven person, qualified to approach God personally and serve him in everyday life. That's what we are all called to be a part of. And Jesus Christ is alive. And we've been called by that risen Jesus to join him in what he is still doing in this world. But here's the thing. We know sometimes mentally what's happened. And our reality, though, is what we see happening in the gospel lesson for today. I think at times we tend to stay behind locked doors because we're afraid. It's safe in there. And who knows what's going on out there or what other people may be doing. So it's easier for me to stay behind these locked doors because we're people sometimes who have fear. And also we can be people who experience doubt and wonder, I don't know if I can really believe this, or I'm not sure about these things. And so that can overtake us. Now for those people, Jesus shows up more than once. And as he shows up, he says the same thing to them both times. He says, don't fear. Do not fear. And he shows himself for who he is. And now who he is with them. The second lesson is the perfect thing to read alongside of John chapter 20. Because if you find yourself, in a sense, behind the door, wondering what's going on out there, wondering what's going on and having those fears and having those doubts to really know who Jesus is helps. And that's why these so beautifully go together, again, with this book that was written to remind people of who Jesus is. I want to look at the next part as you continue on in Revelation chapter 1. So to do that, if you have a Bible, there should be Bibles next to you, in front of you, around you. And take that and go to it's easy to find, the very last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, and the first chapter. First chapter in that book. And I want to look at a couple of those other verses because I think we get a very beautiful glimpse of how Jesus wants us to see him now as the risen King. Revelation chapter 1, and I want to read verses 10 through 16. You read silently while I read aloud. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, John speaking here, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches and to Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamum, and Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sounds of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Then he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. It's an incredible picture, an image of Jesus, written specifically to encourage people who are wondering what's going on in this world. And so John, in this vision, and that's what he's having here, he hears this voice, and he turns around, and the first thing he sees are these lampstands. Lampstands. And they came to represent, in a sense, the churches. Specifically here, the seven that are mentioned, but they would speak in terms of these are the churches that Christ walks and is among and with. And he sees this person like a son of man, obviously identifying this is the Son of Man. This is Jesus, the Christ. And he's wearing this robe, and he has this golden sash around him, and it speaks of dignity and authority and who he is. His hair, white like wool, like snow, speaking again of, in a sense, looking at his holiness and his agelessness. I like that somebody said agelessness. So those of us who have whiter hair, we look ageless, so that's a good thing. And his eyes were like blazing fire. Just the intensity of his eyes, that these are eyes that have great scrutiny or wisdom. Nothing hidden. He knows everything. He sees everything. And then his feet, like the bronze glowing, like bronze glowing in a furnace. It's interesting, and Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 about Jesus and the resurrection. It says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and the image, too, of that person who in a sense, make his enemies his footstool. And it's a sign of the one who conquered someone else to put your foot on the neck of the person that you conquered. And the voice was like the sound of, very powerful sound of his voice, the authority and the power behind it. Now in his right hand are the seven stars, and those come to represent the messengers within the churches. These are the people who have been called to proclaim the word of God, which is described as that double-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit, the message that's living and active. And his face, like the sun, shining in all his brilliance. That's his divine nature. That takes us back to that image that John did see on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before them and showed his divinity. This is Jesus, the risen King, in all power and all glory. And he can't help when he sees him standing now in the presence of God. It just takes him to his knees, and he falls at his feet as though dead. But the beautiful thing is, Jesus, who has died for him, who has loved him and provided salvation for him, just says, "You know what? Don't be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now, look, I'm alive forever and ever." That is an incredible image to hold on to, which takes us again back to where we were. And again, here are people who need to be reminded of where they're at and what lies ahead of them. He is calling them to be a part of a priesthood, a royal priesthood, the people who represent God to the people and people to God. And the priesthood in action is all about gathering and then scattering. And the church, what do? We gather, just like we're doing right now. We gather to be built up in the Word so that we can scatter. Scatter people into secular everyday life to proclaim and live the Word wherever we're at. In the gathering, again, it's like what we're doing right now. We gather. We gather for worship. We gather to corporately confess that we've sinned and that we need God's forgiveness. And then we hear his words of assurance that we have been died for, that we are loved by God. And we hear that. And by seeing that we're all in this together, we get encouragement that we're not alone in doing this. Or we join together with other people in Bible study, and we just want to learn more about who this God is and what he has called us to be and do. We find opportunities to volunteer, serve alongside other people. Maybe we learn some practical skills along the way that make us more effective in doing whatever talent or skill or gift we have that we share with the church. And maybe we learn more things that we're all able to share with other people about our faith. And then we're scattered. People leaving for work, maybe as many of you were, will be tomorrow. You go back to work. You've been encouraged by maybe things that happened today at church around other people. Maybe there's a lot of challenges you're having to deal with at work or in your world. But yet, it did something to be around other people that kind of were rooting each other on. We're knowing that we're not alone in this. And maybe because of something you learned in a Bible study or in your devotions that gives you more confidence in your faith to be able to understand from a different perspective the way things are playing out. You see God in a more confident way. Maybe, again, you have more confidence to take that time to listen to someone or share something with someone and serve in some way. Maybe somebody asks a question about the faith. And because of something that you, again, you learned or you heard from someone else, it helped you to be able to give an answer to someone. And that helps encourage your confidence. Different practical things that, you know, some little, some larger that we can just do, practically speaking, just to help other people out along the way. Wasn't necessarily a spiritual thing that happened this morning, but I get a call early this morning from my son Daniel, who was awoken by his cat that was soaking wet, lo and to find out that the basement had flooded because of all the massive storms back there. So whether or not the sump pump's working or not, doesn't know, but trying to help him because his brother's off at drill for National Guard this weekend, so he's alone trying to figure out how to deal with the flood in the basement. But it was encouraging just to talk to him through it about do this, do that, and trying to get him off the work and stuff. But it was neat just giving him some words of encouragement, hey, it's going to be all right, and work through it that way. That was cool to be able to just help him in some tangible way. And then I was in here this morning early, and I was going over my message for today, and I look outside, and I noticed that there was a lady sitting out on the bench out there. So I finished doing what I was doing. I went out there and saw that it wasn't just someone just passing by on a neighborhood walk. She kind of looked homeless, but she was probably early 60s. And they went out there and said, "Hey, good morning," and find out that she spent the whole night sleeping out there on the concrete. She said that she was in the neighborhood, came up with some friends from Long Beach for a party in the area, and they just left her. She didn't know anyone, even where she even was. She says, "I know up on a hill somewhere, but I know that I came from Long Beach." And like I said, she looks like she doesn't have a place to live. She looked like she was in her 60s and walking with a can. I asked her, "Can I do anything for you?" She said, "I'd like a cup of coffee." So I made her a cup of coffee and got her some granola bars and talked to her a little bit, and thinking, well, she needs to go somewhere. But it's interesting, two or three different times she says, "I just knew that this was a church, and if you go to a church, there's people there that can help you." Isn't that kind of what we're supposed to do? So I said, "Hey, I got to do some more things, but I'll help you out and do a little research, find out. Hey, right down here at the Orange Mall, bus 50 goes directly from there to Long Beach." So I said, "Hey, can I take you down to the bus stop and get at least to Long Beach?" So I drove her down there, gave her some money, gave her some words of encouragement, and said, "Hey, you know, even the bus ladies, I talked to her, even though I gave her some money, she says, hey, no, she can ride for free. I'll get her down there." So that was cool. She said her name was Gypsy. But, you know, here's a lady, an older lady that had a hard time walking, even with her cane, just desolate out here. But yet she said a couple times, "Hey, go to the church." That was cool. You know, Jesus kind of did the same thing. He went into the temple, did his worship thing, as we do. But then what did he do? He ministered where people were. You see him by the sea, by Jacob's well. You see him going places, homes, markets. And that's kind of what it's about. And along the way, he just kind of equipped people along the way. He says, "Hey, when you go and do life, this is where ministry happens." I think I said a couple weeks ago, you know, in here is for out there. And that's why we gather, for the what we need to do as we scatter. So back to Revelation 1, 5, and 6, the way I read this is, Jesus freed us from sin and made us priests so that we could be partners with him in the ministry that he wants to continue doing in this world. And ultimately, when that happens, God gets the glory and God gets the honor. And it's a very cool thing. That's the way God wanted it to be. And then you jump back down and he says, "You know what? Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one." And it really is a call to us, because it said, you know, as you kind of in the middle part there, it says, you know what, he's coming back. And every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all of us are responsible for the piercing and death of Christ. It was our sin that put him on the cross. And we deserve the judgment. But because of what he did, when we understand what he did and we accept and receive what he did for us, he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Why are we here? I hope no one is here, meaning not literally in here this morning, but I hope no one's here to say, "Go, Pastor Jim, go. We'll watch you do the ministry. Go, go, go." I hope none of you think that you're here just to root me on to do ministry. Shame on you if that's your thinking. We corporately gather because we do this together. I hope what we are here for is that we say, you know what? I need a Savior. Because I know I have a problem with sin. But look at what was done for me. And look at what, in spite of who I am, Jesus is asking me to join him in just bringing some life and light to the world. And put a calling on us to work alongside of him and to serve him. So it takes us back up now to the upper room again in John chapter 20. It happened then, it happens today in our own lives. You know what? Each day we may experience fear. Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you." So we can leave to serve and share. Now it's Monday. Fears return, doubt return. Jesus again shows up in his word and in his encouragement to remind us who he is. And I hope for all of our sakes, we keep in mind that image of what Jesus wanted John to just have emblazoned in his mind, that image of Jesus in that vision he had of him in that first chapter of Revelation. Because if we have that kind of an image or vision of Jesus, that really helps to know who he is. And you know what? He'll keep showing up and saying, "Peace be with you. Don't doubt. Know who I am." Because the risen Christ in all of his power and all of his glory is with you and for you. And that really helps along the way. Because regularly, we're just like those people up there in that room. But Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you. Now let's go and love and serve and do this together and together." And that's a beautiful thing. So may God's peace go with us into a new week. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.